BulaNetwork.com, the podcast, episode 219. Today's show is about your business bench strength. How critical is it to your success? Some organizations, well, they think a deep bench is necessary, and they think if the bench is deep, then the bench is strong. Not necessarily. Let's talk about your business or your organization's bench strength, and we'll do that next. Today's show notes can be found over at the website at BulaNetwork.com/219, episode 219. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Got the windows open today, kids. We have an unseasonably cool day today, so I'm violating the rules of recording by having the windows open. Birds are chirping outside, and so occasionally, if you hear one, now you know why. So enjoy it. Listen, I'm often commissioned to do some executive coaching, and it involves coaching team members as well. And helping organizations develop bench strength is very often a major driver. Organizations have a variety of bench strength concerns. Some of them are worried about succession. Some are worried about just getting the work done. And still others worry about various gaps in knowledge or competence or leadership. Yeah, it's like any kind of team. Not all teams are created equal because they don't have equal needs. In fact, I pose the question pretty regularly, what's your game? And what if you lose a player? Because your game will dictate the kind of bench you need. It's important for you to look at your company or your organization when you're thinking about bench strength. Unfortunately, in some cases, I find people, they want to take a look at somebody else, some other organization, some other business, perhaps a business in a completely different industry. And of course, we can all be guilty of reading too many books. The problem with bench strength when we go to reading too much is making application to our situation where it may not apply. There may not be a great transference of situations. What's fitting for me in one organization may not be fitting for me in a very different organization. For instance, very small businesses, they look at themselves and say, well, I don't even have a bench. Okay, they've got a few chairs. Many small business owners, they just don't think much about bench strength because, well, they're the star player. Lots of small businesses are built around the guy or the gal who started the business. And as long as they've got enough support people to play the role of grunts, they think they're fine. Well, they are fine sometimes until they're not. And all of a sudden, the person who was doing some important but probably a very unappreciated job, well, they up and they quit. And now the owner feels betrayed and let down. And now he realizes he has a bench problem. He didn't have a bench problem before. I'm always puzzled when I see bosses react to an employee's resignation, because too often the boss instantly goes to a place of personal betrayal. I'm disappointed that you do this to me, he might say. You know, the other day, and I talked about this in that last Freeform Friday episode that I watch, Million Dollar Listing. You know, these TV shows about these high-end real estate guys. And the other day, Million Dollar Listing LA was on. It was just on in the background, as TV often is around here. And they were airing some episodes that came from 2008. And one of the brokers, he had an assistant, and she turned in her two-week notice. The episode showed her languishing about talking to him, and he was busy running around, and she couldn't nail him down. She couldn't get the time with him to talk. And finally, she just made an appointment with him. And of course, he knew something was serious because, well, she didn't make appointments with him. And so she explained to him very professionally on camera that, you know, the hours for her as a single mother with this whole real estate genre, they were just too taxing on her. And she had found another job, a job that was more suitable for her situation and her lifestyle. And her boss is one of the brokers on the show. And immediately he tells her how disappointed he is in her. And the funny thing is, I had just watched an episode this year, and almost the identical situation had occurred with a different assistant. I mean, come on, these episodes were like 5 years apart or so. He handled the resignation of each assistant just almost identically. And I'm sitting here thinking, the last 5 or 6 years, you know, dude, you haven't learned a thing as far as leadership and managing goes. But it brings up a universal question of any organization that consists of two or more people. What if one leaves? The real estate broker, he acknowledged that, you know, his life was in complete chaos. This assistant gave her 2 weeks' notice. She left. I don't know how many weeks went by without an assistant, but he was scrambling to find a replacement because his workload shot through the roof without an assistant. It was also funny that showed him interviewing, and yeah, he did just a terrible job. I mean, I give him an F in interviewing, asking, and they were all women that he interviewed. Nothing wrong with that, but that kind of puzzled me. Why were they all women? I have seen other agents and other brokers on these shows, and they have an assistant who's a guy. But at any rate, his candidates were all women, and he asked them all, what are your strengths? And then he asked them, what are your weaknesses? You know, got all the typical responses. And I thought, well, okay, not only has he not learned how to lead, he hasn't even learned how to acquire a good talent. But it showed his life, and he was just running and chasing his tail because he now realized the importance of this assistant. I don't know that he understood it as long as she was there, but when she wasn't there, now there was this glaring gap in performance. Many service professionals, like real estate brokers, are very small teams, and that often makes them susceptible to greater dangers if an employee leaves. I mean, for this broker, one employee represented 50% of his team. I mean, it was him and an assistant. Well, that's going to hurt. You know, that's going to hurt, but shame on him. First of all, for being personal when it should have remained professional, and shame on him for failing to see how a 65-hour work week was going to negatively affect an assistant who was also a single mom. I mean, the man should have done a better job of hiring a team member whose life was more suitable to the work and the schedule. So part of bench strength is knowing the game that you're playing and the needs you've got for your team. Contingency plans. Contingency plans are vital for every organization. And I don't care if it's you and one assistant or if it's you and dozens of direct reports. You've got to have contingency plans because you never know. You never know. And if you've been a leader for any length of time at all, then you've been blindsided before with some unexpected resignation or worse. Worse would be some event that created a gap in your organization. It could be a death. It could be an arrest. I mean, it could be any number of unforeseen events. And so you need a short-term plan and you need a longer-term plan. What are you going to do if in the next hour you suddenly lose a player? What if in the next hour someone, maybe a key someone, but maybe not a key someone, but any player on your team, they suddenly announce that they're leaving? Or worse yet, what if all of a sudden they're gone? Who else knows how to fulfill that role? Is there any documentation of that role? Are there any step-by-step systems in place so that anybody with reasonable skills can fill that role, at least temporarily? Disaster preparation. It's mostly top of mind after the fact. Now, as I record today's show, the Deep South here in America has experienced some really violent spring thunderstorms and some strong tornadoes. Some strong tornadoes. Last time I saw the news, they have taken almost 40 lives. And so entire communities have been devastated, homes leveled down to the foundation. Some people had storm shelters. Many of them did not. And some people thought they had more time, but they were wrong. Now, I've lived most of my life here in the United States in what we call Tornado Alley. Tornado Alley is kind of this central part of the country that for some meteorological reason, cool air and warm air clash and we get some really outrageous thunderstorms that produce tornadoes. And if you don't know exactly where you're going to go and what you're going to do when the sirens sound, we've got storm warning sirens in most all communities. And if you don't know what you're going to do when they sound those horns, you're potentially in some big trouble. Well, you could be. And so it is if you don't know exactly what you're going to do if a person, any person, suddenly leaves your bench. Or if they go down with an injury. I mean, have you ever had that happen? Have you ever had an employee suffer some health issue that just knocked them out of the game for a while? Sure, we've nearly all experienced that kind of thing. And maybe it's even happened to us. Don't start working on the systems after the disaster. You know, the time to buy insurance is before you need it, not after, because then it doesn't do you any good. You got to do all these things beforehand. And that makes it difficult because we think, who's got time? I don't have time for this. Document, document, document. Every role in your organization should have documentation of what they do, how they do it, and when they do it. And those systems need constant revision and improvement, updating. I mean, just because you did the work years ago doesn't mean that the work is still up to date enough to do the job today. If all of a sudden that person goes away. In my house, I've got a closet, and it's an interior small closet where my wife and I don't have a storm cellar, where my wife and I could hide if a tornado warning were to sound. And that closet, well, it had sufficient room for us years ago, but over time, more and more stuff has found its way being crammed into that closet. And so today, I went and looked at it. Okay. I would have to spend some precious seconds tossing stuff out to make sure we could get inside it. Here's the problem. Those precious seconds that I might take in trying to throw things out of the closet so we could get inside it, that might mean the difference in living and dying. If a tornado were to strike my house, and I was seconds away from being inside that closet, it could mean the difference in living or dying. And so I need to go out today to that closet, and I need to clear it out a little bit. Now, you might need to do the same thing with your documented systems. Oh, they may have been perfectly great 3 years ago, but if you haven't looked at them in 3 years, odds are they're not great today. You need to fix those. You need to get those updated. Let's talk about role players, because this comes up frequently for me in conversations. Role players. Role players are considered people who fill a specific need, but you know, they might also be people with diverse abilities, people who are capable of bridging a gap. Usually, they're very comfortable in whatever role they're given as long as it's congruent with how they view themselves and with their strengths. You know, for instance, the role player who is ideally suited for detail work, okay, that person's not likely going to excel if all of a sudden you need to have them fill a sales role. Even if it's just temporary, probably are not going to do well. But if you put them in the right place, even temporarily, they can shine. Now, I don't want you to mistake role players for lesser players, because they're not. You know, quite often, the role player may be the guy in the second chair because they're perfectly suited for it and they love it. You know, not all A players want to be first chair musicians. I mean, some are very satisfied to play Ed McMahon to your Johnny Carson or Paul Schaefer to your David Letterman. I mean, the Lone Ranger had Tonto. So do not discount a Tonto in your life. But if Tonto rides away, well, the Lone Ranger, he's alone. And he can't be the effective Lone Ranger without Tonto, so he needs a suitable replacement. And it's not likely that he is going to find a suitable replacement in a new acquaintance. Now, Lone Ranger has somebody in mind, somebody that he already knows, someone that he already trusts, and somebody that he already knows is capable. Now, the list might only exist in his head because he's not suspecting that Tonto is going to ride off into the sunset and never return, but at least he has a list, just in case. And you need a list too, just in case. Relationships. Relationships are the cornerstone of bench building. Your relationships with your team are paramount. I can't stress it enough. But you've got to develop relationships with other people who might be suitable for your team if the opportunity ever arises. And it may. And you're going to need to be ready. Bench development hinges on development, acquisition, and placement. DAP, if you will. Development, acquisition, and placement. If you fail at any one of those areas, you will suffer some bench issues at some point. And you may be experiencing some bench issues right now. My guess is going to be that one or more of these areas is going to be the culprit. Development is really easy to overlook, and it's extraordinarily easy to undervalue. Too often I see organizations that put a priority on hiring the right people, and then we just trust that they're going to work out. You know, and those little things like onboarding, those little processes when you welcome people into your company for the first time, those can be overlooked. But they can also make or break talent acquisition, and they negatively impact developing existing team members too, because guess what? The way that you treat new people, it's probably pretty much a mirror image of how you treat existing people. Don't dismiss these things as being, these are the soft things. These don't make any difference. Oh, but they do. These cultural things determine the daily practices of a company or organization, and what you do every day makes or breaks who you are. Hop on over to LinkedIn or Monster. When you get through with this podcast, just go to LinkedIn or Monster.com and check out the job listings. In fact, I'm going to encourage you to go to the higher end job listings. And I want you to look at the laundry list of skills and requirements. And now I want you to look at what they offer. And I want you to pay special attention to just see how few of them even mention any support, any training, any development. Well, no wonder. Most of them don't even focus on attracting people with compelling offers. Here's what they do. They just scream, hey, look, I posted a job. You need to jump at the chance to work for us. And they wonder why they have bench weakness. Well, we could tell them a thing or two, couldn't we? Development and acquisition. Okay, these are two things that are joined at the hip. You can't separate them. And placement, well, placement is what Jim Collins, the author of Good to Great, he called putting the right people in the right seats on the bus. It's matching the right people with the right job and the right situation. You know, don't go ruin an A player with misplacement, because you'll very quickly realize that you've turned an A player into a B or a C player. And it's not the player. It's the situation that you put them in. Hey, right now it's Stanley Cup playoff time in the National Hockey League, and I'm a hockey guy. And when one team goes on the power play and the other team goes on the penalty kill, you'll see the importance of placement of players. And so a star player, a very name marquee player can find himself, well, sitting on the bench because the coach knows his skills are not ideally suited for either one of these situations, the penalty kill or the power play. One side's playing with fewer players than the other due to penalties that are assessed. And sometimes the best specialty teams players, well, they're not the marquee guys. Instead, very often, they're the role players who shine under these special pressure circumstances and situations. And so great coaches know when to put specific players on the ice. As a leader, you've got to do the same thing. Devote time and energy to develop your team. Now, that takes commitment. That takes you, your organization, making up your mind that helping your team members become stronger, that's an important thing. And if your culture does not believe that that's important, everything else is lip service. You've got to begin with the belief that this is important and the dedication to make it important, because you got to get busy doing everything you can to help your people succeed. As a leader, that's your job. I'm going to go so far as to tell you that that's your only job, is to make sure that your people succeed. Now, people can get all wrapped up in strategy and other specifics of the work, and I'm not discounting those and saying that those aren't important and those aren't part of your job. But all of that ties into helping your people succeed, and you got to be committed to that. And if you're not, shame on you. Get committed to that. Acquire the very best talent available. If you skimp on talent, you're going to weaken your team. And you can go cheap, and you'll end up going home with lackluster performance. And I don't care what your business is. I don't care what your organization's missions are. I know that you're likely to be tempted to think that you're some spectacular leader and coach, and you're going to make all the difference, right? No. No. Winning is done by great players. And great coaches allow the team to win more and to win bigger. Poor coaches can manage to lose even with good talent. In fact, poor coaches can manage to lose even with great talent. You've seen that before. So don't ever diminish the value of great team members. Placement. Now, placement isn't just where people are. It's also who is coupled with whom. Bring in a B player and see how your A players react. It's not going to be pretty. And you're going to erode whatever winning culture you were trying to build because of poor placement, either by putting some inferior talent in their midst or by putting the wrong person in a position that's just not suited for them. This is where your leadership can shine. And if you will do great work in this area, it's going to be really clear. I mean, everybody's going to see it. So what's the conclusion about all this? You know, maybe it's about having somebody in place who can take over your role when you leave. That's a situation for lots of people. Maybe it's about having somebody in place who can accept more responsibility, and that seems to be really commonplace. We want to develop this person or that person because we feel like they're capable of more, and we want to give them more. Maybe it's about filling a new position with an existing team member. You really don't want to go outside the group, but you look around and you realize that you've not done a great enough job of developing people, and maybe you have to go outside the organization to fill a new position. Maybe it's about having a short list of potential candidates in case something unexpected happens, in case all of a sudden there's a vacancy that you didn't plan on. Maybe it's even a vacancy that is planned. It could be someone's going to retire. It could be somebody that gave their notice a month ago. Maybe it's moving people around so that they're in situations that are better suited for their talents. Maybe it's the proverbial, you know, we're going to blow up the org chart and kind of revamp this thing. Maybe it's the fact that we've looked around and we realize, okay, the seats on our bus have got all the wrong people. You know, your game is going to determine those things. I don't know what it is for you and your situation, your company culture, your organization's culture and the mission. That's going to impact those things. And these can be very, very challenging waters to navigate, especially if you're trying to do it without proper planning and without competent execution. So many times I see organizations just trying to shoot from the hip with this, and they try to take some really short-term approach to what has historically been a long-term problem. It just doesn't work. Before you can focus on the work, you have to focus on your bench of players who will perform the work. Your work requires people. I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're working with software or robots or digging ditches. It's people who perform and do the work. And you need people who will perform at high levels if you're going to be a winner in the marketplace. Now, in your organization, it may just be you and one other person, like the real estate guy that I talked about earlier. It may be you leading a small team. It might be you leading a team of hordes of people. It doesn't matter. The application is all the same. The numbers definitely make it a more complex issue, but numbers don't change the issues so dramatically. Ignore your bench, and I'm going to tell you, do it at your own peril. You can't disregard the power of the individual people who make up your team, because your bench is filled with individuals, and you've got to make sure that your team members know their proper place on the team, because, well, their contribution to the whole, that's what makes your organization win. I firmly believe in the power of one person, the power of one person to facilitate change. However, I don't believe in the power of one person to so direct the team and so facilitate, you know, their own well-being to the detriment of the team. There are countless sports team illustrations, and there are countless business team illustrations of people who felt like they were the star player and they deserve star treatment. They were better than everybody else. Well, in most of those cases, you've got somebody who's trying to fulfill a different mission than the mission of the team. It just doesn't tend to work. It tends to bring on problems. Bench strength is a universal problem, and it doesn't matter if the organization is service related, is product related, is a nonprofit. It doesn't matter what the mission of the company or the organization is. It doesn't matter what space they occupy. It still is about people, and the people are the ones sitting on the bench, and the people are the ones that are out in the field of play doing the work. Those people are obviously the answer to the question of the post. How critical is it to your success? Well, it's extraordinarily critical. You must get it right. And if you don't get it right, unlike the real estate broker, you got to learn. Learn from your mistakes. Don't keep making the same silly mistakes over and over again. Get better. I've long challenged leaders because it just seems common sense to me. We're constantly urging our people to get better and improve. And it's always seemed puzzling to me why more leaders don't try to improve. Because we're demanding our direct reports get better. Seems to me we ought to demand that we get better too, don't you think? My name is Randy Cantrell. The website again is Bula, BULANetwork.com. Going to rebrand the podcast. Haven't completely made up my mind yet. If you'd like to help me out with that effort, you can go to BulaNetwork.com/help me. Short survey over there. Some of you have gone to extraordinary trouble. Man, I'm so appreciative. It's very helpful. Anyway, I'm going to kind of get more narrowly focused here and change some things up. I've got shoulder surgery scheduled now, May the 12th. Yeah, I'm going to get this bad boy fixed. I've talked about it too much. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. So I don't know. I may be out of commission for a little bit, but that's okay. It'll only be temporary, I assure you, good Lord willing. All kinds of ways to connect with me over at the website, social icons and all that. I greatly would appreciate if you subscribe to the podcast. A review would even be nice. And I guess with that, I'll leave you with it and wish you all the success in building your bench and making your bench stronger. BullaNetwork.com is the website. Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas is where I'm from. This is the Yellow Studio.